The scripture reading this morning be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, and also Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We'll be reading from the King James Version. And the Bible reads, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And the Bible reads, "For there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if of any bowels and mercy. Fulfill my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus."
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Brother Tobias and I was talking past week, and we were talking about what can we deal with for the month of August. And so I left that in his hands. And so he came up with a few things that were worthy of attention. And so last month we were talking about holiness. And this month, Brother Tobias, he came up with having the mind of Christ. And I thought that was good because when we consider holiness, it actually transitions into the mind of Christ perfectly. But what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? To have the mind of Christ means that you have the thinking of Christ. You have the reasoning of Christ. You think like him because he himself is God in the flesh. When we consider this and we think about the mind of Christ, I was doing my studies and it caused me to look at the phrase, the mind of Christ. And on three different occasions, I saw that particular idea, that concept, or that phrase. Of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16, we see it there. We also see it in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. But then we also see it in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 1. Now, I thought it was interesting that the Bible teaches us to have the mindset, the attitude, the reasoning, the thinking of Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it is in the context of reasoning through wisdom, the wisdom of the world or human wisdom and the wisdom of God. In Philippians chapter 2 is in the context of esteeming others better than self, which is humility. But in 1 Peter chapter 4 is in the context of suffering. And so this week we're going to be dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Next week we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 2. And then on the fourth Sunday, we're going to come back around and we're going to look at 1 Peter 4 and verse number 1. So we already know what we're going to be dealing with. And Brother Tobias is going to be preaching on whatever he desires to preach on concerning the mind of Christ. But I want us to take notice of 1 Corinthians. And the reason why is because when we think about the Corinthian letter, And we understand that according to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, Paul wanted the brethren, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to be thinking the same things, to be of the same mind, and to be of the same judgment, which means that they needed to be having the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, we should be thinking alike. And I'm so thankful for Brother Brian and what he said concerning Psalm 22. It's so important for us to think alike as it relates to Psalm 22, lest we have God in the grave as it relates to the spirit man. But that's not true. And so Jesus was suffering on that cross, and that suffering we ought to be able to identify with. And it doesn't matter what we go through in life, we can look back at the cross with the mind of Christ. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, you got the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. And so when you consider 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says something in verse number 2, "For I determined to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified." The mind of Christ is always going to go back to the cross. And when we think about that, that ought to keep us grounded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, as he humbles himself and he talks about how we as the people of God are working together with God, verse number 9. And in verse number 7, that we're nothing. Why? Because he that planted and he that watered is nothing, but it is God that gives the increase. In chapter 4, Paul deals with the brethren there, and he says that as it relates to man, verse number 2, a servant of the Lord must be found faithful. Meaning that he must be found trustworthy. To have the mind of Christ, brethren, we have to learn trustworthiness. In chapter 5, you have a man that had his father's wife. Paul tells them he needs to be put out of the fellowship. Why? So he can be back into the fellowship through repentance, confession, and prayer. In chapter 6, we got the brethren suing one another, which means, Brother Royce, they didn't have the mind of Christ. Isn't there anyone that had the wisdom that they could handle these small matters? And then in chapter 6, he talks about how they shouldn't be adorning themselves or joining themselves with a harlot, which means that they need to be watching their human body. Their body was not made for fornication, but it was made for the Lord. In chapter 7, he brings up marriage and how marriage is designed for them to honor God. And so you shouldn't be using your body for fornication, sexual immorality, if you will. Going into chapter 8, he having the mind of Christ, he tells them, watch one another's conscience. Don't violate one another's conscience, especially with matters of things like food. Don't violate each other's conscience. In chapter 9, the first two or three verses there, he says, are you not my proof in the Lord? Are you not my proof of ministry? Aren't you not my proof of apostleship? Did I not bring you to Christ according to Acts chapter 18? He sure did. And he had to get on them because Paul had to rob poor churches in order for him to be a supply of the needs that he needed. Here, the church at Corinth, they were a rich congregation. They had great resources, but they didn't want to help the apostle Paul. Going to chapter 10, he deals with the examples of Moses and the children of Israel. And in verse number 6, he said, these are examples that you should not follow in the same rule of lust. Then he kind of shifts gears into chapter 11. And he brings up the authority of God and the authority of Christ. And it's interesting, in verse number 1, he says, imitate me even as I imitate Christ. Go to verse number 3, he says that the head of every man is Christ. Head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Which means that when you look at chapter 11, this is about authority. In order for you to truly understand chapter 11, you have to understand authority. No wonder the Lord's Supper is in chapter 11, because it's about authority. It's about authority. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? Because God authorized it. Why do we remember Jesus Christ on the cross? Because God authorized it. And to not do that is to do that which God has not authorized. Or God, when you don't do what God says, you haven't done what he authorized. Chapter 12, 13, and 14 needs to be studied together. Why is that? Because chapter 12, you're talking about spiritual gifts and how the church is supposed to be using these spiritual gifts in its infancy in order to help the church grow. Chapter 13, Brother Royce would call that the love chapter, but really there's something deeper there, Because when you look at verses 8 through 13, it's about how those spiritual gifts was going to come to an end. Why? Because now the church, the first church, the only church, is now up and running. And now the greatest of these is love. That's what's going to remain. Chapter 14, now you got worship and how worship is supposed to be organized and how worship is not with confusion and how worship is of peace and how women ought not to be preaching and how, y'all get those points? That's in chapter 14. And then he goes into chapter 15 and he talks about the beautiful gospel of Christ. And he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And he brings up the death and the burial and the resurrection and the appearance of Christ, verses 1 through 8. But then he talks about something beautiful in chapter 15, verses 23 and 24, as it relates to how Christ is going to come back for the kingdom, and he's going to give it to the Father, and God is going to be all in all in verse number 28. And then he talks about verses 50 through verse number 58, that our body is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Jesus Christ is going to come back. The loud trumpet is going to take place, and we're going to ever be with the Lord. And then he closes off that great book to brethren that should have the mind of Christ in chapter 16. And he talks about how we ought to be giving and how it's done on the first day of the week and the attitude that we ought to have and how we ought to quit ye like men and be strong. Brethren, the mind of Christ. If you look at chapter 2, because that's all we're going to deal with today. We're going to deal with chapter 2. And the reason why we're going to deal with chapter 2 only, because as I was studying this and thinking about this, and I have sometimes the tendency of trying to pack in a lot of information in one sitting. And my mom said on one occasion, Mike, you ain't got to give us the whole dump truck. I was like, well, but it's so fun trying to give the whole dump truck. But I was just going to break it up. So we're going to look at chapter 2. Keep in mind the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ according to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 16? What does that mean? It means that we don't allow the wisdom of the world to dictate our motives. When you think about Paul's motive, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2, notice what he says here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the evidences, the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ and him crucified. Notice his motive. The mind of Christ has the right motive. It's not the excellency of speech. It's not about me using big words so you can look at me and say, oh, Brother Bonner. No, it's about Christ Jesus and him crucified. If my aim, if my speech, if the message that we are heralding to the world does not have that as the motive, we need to check our motive. Our motive is to do what God says, according to what God says. But notice what he says in verse number 4, verse number 3. He says, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now notice what he says here, friends. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, we need to make sure that our motives are right, and we need to make sure that we're saying only what God says. And that's it. And that's it. Not adding to the word of God, not taking away from the word of God. On three different occasions, yea, even four different occasions, we have the Bible teaching us that we shouldn't add nor subtract to the word of God. So here, Paul says here, he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Notice the humility of the apostle Paul. And my speech and my preaching. So when I was with you house to house, and when I was proclaiming publicly, notice what it was. It was not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Anytime I'm listening to anybody, anytime I'm talking to brethren, anytime I'm listening to a podcast or YouTube, I'm always asking myself, did God say that? Because if God didn't say it, why do I believe it? Amen, brethren. It's interesting how we philosophize. It's interesting how we use words. It's interesting how we have ideas and sayings, and we don't even know where we got them from. Well, where did you get that from? Well, I heard this guy, he was talking the other day on a podcast. Well, did you check it? In Acts 17, in verse number 11, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures to see whether the things that Paul was saying was true. Guess what? Paul was inspired. I'm aspiring. Amen. Isn't it funny how we give man more credence than we do God? Having the mind of Christ means I'm going to listen to what you have to say, and I'm going to meditate on what you have to say, and then I'm going to answer what you have to say. Husband and wives always get this wrong. I already know what you're going to say, so I'm going to say it before you say it. That's the wrong attitude. It's marriage counseling 101 right there. Listen to all before you answer. Amen, right? Walls, windows, lights. Amen. Why do we want to answer before we hear? Paul says here that it was not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Wisdom that came forth from mankind. The book of Colossians. Read the book of Colossians and you'll see the idea of the contrast between philosophy and what God's word says. For some reason, man loves to think that he is always right, but we're not always right, but God is always right. God is always right because the power is actually in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Romans 1. Look at verse number 16 and 17. Paul said there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. For everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now notice this, for therein, literally, it's in there. When I was a kid, they had those Prego commercials. Prego commercials was the spaghetti sauce. Remember that, Brother Chad? Spaghetti sauce. You're probably too young. And in that commercial, like, it's in there. Everything that you need is in that little jar right there. The taste, the tomato sauce, the spices, the bell pepper. And man, I'm getting hungry right now. But with the gospel, the power of God is in there. Everything that you need is in the gospel. Why? Verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. But why is that important? It's important because of Matthew 6, verse 33, brethren. We ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Brother Mike, what does that have to do with having the mind of Christ? Those who don't have the mind of Christ don't seek first the kingdom. Those who don't have the mind of Christ don't think that the gospel is everything that they need. Those who don't have the mind of Christ don't look to Christ as their final say. So Paul says, I'm not coming with persuasive words of human wisdom and of power. I'm coming to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I determined to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. That's why who's ever teaching, who's ever preaching, Dustin heard you did a great job this morning. To God be the glory. Keep teaching, keep preaching. Stay with the word of God. This is where the power is. Just because a person sounds good, don't make them sound. Go to Titus 2. Look at verse number 1. In Titus 2, in verse number 1, if I'm not mistaken, let me make sure. Yes. But as for you, speak those things which befit or are proper for sound doctrine. Healthy doctrine. Just because he sounds good doesn't mean that he is sound. Which means that human wisdom, if it's not in line with the word of God, James 3, verses 13 through 18, friends, it's the wrong wisdom. And so when you're talking to smart aleck people, smart aleck brethren, they say, well, we need to use a little wisdom here. I like to ask this question, which one? Because there's only two. There's only the wisdom that's from above and the wisdom from below. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ, brethren? We use that phraseology. I use that phraseology. And when Brother Tobias came up with that, and I started studying, I was like, whoa, 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 there's more to it than what meets the eye. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? That means that I'm not operating off of human wisdom. I'm not being persuaded by human wisdom. I'm actually going to the word of God because Jesus said in John 7 in verse number 16, he said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. So, Jesus, what are you saying? I don't even operate by my own wisdom. I operate off the wisdom that he gave me. Amen, brethren. Do we realize that Jesus could have sinned against God? Do we ever think about that? Isn't that what the devil was trying to make him do in the garden? I mean, in the wilderness? Bow down to me. He said, it is written. Three different occasions, right? Which means that he could have operated off of his own wisdom, but he did not. He operated off of the wisdom of Almighty God. Look at verse number 6 through verse number 9. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are. Now, notice the word there, mature. The King James uses the word perfect. When I think about that, and I've studied that, the idea is teleos, meaning that you are growing up. But there's another definition that I thought fit even better because of the text. Those who are people of integrity. People of integrity want the wisdom of God, not human wisdom. Because when we consider human wisdom, it can go in any direction. Watch this. Well, I don't really see a problem with a man marrying a man. That's not, you know, I mean, if he wants to be happy, Brother Brian, that's not really the problem. No, it's a problem because God said so. I mean, I really don't really see a need to come to worship on every first day of the week. I mean, what's the big deal? God knows my heart. That's a problem. He does know your heart. Why? Because the wisdom of God says every first day of the week. Wisdom of God says one man, one woman for life. The wisdom of God says, look to me. But human wisdom says, well, we got all these billboards. We have all these pop-ups. We have all of these messages coming our way. And if we're not careful, the wisdom of man will supersede the wisdom of God because we're not in the Word of God. We got to be in the Word of God. And so Paul, as he talks about the mature, the perfect, teleos, the people who have integrity, that's the key to what he's saying here. Let's read it with that. However, we speak wisdom among those who are people of integrity, yet not the wisdom of this age, this time frame, nor are the rulers of this age, those who are in authority, whether it's the government, so forth and so on, who are coming to nothing. But we speak, notice Paul's motive again, brethren, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Don't have time to deal with this, but I wish I did. Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 7. I wish I had time. Don't have time. Do we understand how much God truly loves mankind? Let's take a time out. God had in his mind before the world began that he was going to save man from their sins. He had in his mind before the world began a kingdom, a territory, where Jesus Christ was going to be king, and how God the Father is going to be the despot, the King of Kings, and Jesus being king under him, and how he's going to be over his kingdom. Hold on, he had us in mind that he was going to be snatching us out of the kingdom of darkness and placing us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Colossians 1:13. He had that in his mind before he said, let there be. Wow. Brethren, the mind of Christ says, I believe that. John Hagee in San Antonio, pastor there, says that the church is a plan B. And the reason why, Brother Royce, is because the Jews outwitted Jesus Christ. I don't know if I want a God that I can outwit. I don't think I want a God that I can outsmart. I don't think I want a God that I can get around. You can't get around God, can't outwit God. Matter of fact, drop down to verse number 15. This is a good place to put that point. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Talking about God there. That he may instruct him. Is there anyone that can give God instructions? Is there anyone that can say, God, you missed that? Is there anyone that can say, God, your way is not really the best way? Here, let's try this way. But we do it all the time. I don't really want to do that. We're like the rich man. We go away sorrowful. Brethren, what are we saying? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? To have the mind of Christ means that I believe the mystery. We need more preachers, brother. We need more preachers, sisters, preaching the mystery of God. You ask most denominational preachers what the mystery is, they don't even know what it is. Brethren, the mystery is Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a good study. It's a great study, brethren. There's no way I can do it justice. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14, Paul talking to his young protege. He says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, if I tarry long, I write so that you may know how you ought to behave, how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Notice what it is. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Brother Mike, what are you saying? God's mystery included all of those things. For what, God? Because I love mankind and I want him saved and I want him to live with me throughout eternity. I got to believe that. If I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm going to have problems. Young people, you have to believe that. Most young people who leave the faith say, "Well, you know, I really didn't really believe the things that my mom and dad was saying as I was growing up. I really, my church believed this. My church said this, Brother Royce. My church said this." Well, hold on. What does the Bible say? Because your church could have been right. Parents could have been right. And so the mind of Christ says, "I want to do things God's way." Go back to 1 Corinthians. Look at verse number 9. I want to correct something here that most of the denominational world believe. "But as it is written," notice, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Oh, he's talking about heaven there, because no one has ever seen. He's talking about revelation. God's word is now being revealed. It was in the mind of God at one time, and now God has revealed it. How? Through the prophets. Through his son, through the spirit, through the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Now we actually got God's word. Now I can say I have the mind of Christ because I'm reading it. I'm reading it. Young people, do you know you can actually think like Christ? You can. But it takes work. So let me throw this at you. When God had Moses to come receive the law, he had to take two tablets with him. And he had to go up the mount. I believe that was Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. We're not talking about a hill. We're talking about a mount. We're talking about a mountain. If you ever done any mountain climbing, raise your hand if you ever did any mountain climbing. Did you sweat when you get up to the top? Took some work, didn't it? Oh, it takes work to go up there to get God. It takes work. No wonder in the book of Ecclesiastes, much study is wearisome to the flesh. It takes work to learn who God is. It's not enough for you to get your daily text message or your daily devotional. That's not enough. You got to dig in the word of God. You got to have mind of Christ. You got to work for it. I mean, you got to put in some time. I mean, you got to put the phone down sometimes. You got to cut TV off sometimes. You got to make some real time for God in order to have the mind of Christ, in order to be able to fight off all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because if you won't, you won't make it. Won't make it. But if you put in that work, you get a little tired. I have one of those little backpacks or knapsacks or whatever you call it. It has the little old tube. You just sitting there sweating like a Hebrew slave. Getting up that hill. Getting up that mountain. Just sweating like a Hebrew slave, boy. Like, can't wipe it off enough because you're like, boy, I should have did something different. No, it's worth it. It's worth sweating to get up to God. Because it takes time to get to know him. You got to put your work in. Just as Jesus had to put in work in order to get to the cross, we got to put in work. John 9, verse 4. "I must work the work of him who sent me while it's day. Night come, no man can work." Jesus worked. Brethren, question, do we have the mind of Christ? Are we willing to put in that work? Are we willing to have the mindset, "Father, I can't teach you nothing. As a matter of fact, I need you to teach me everything. I need you to do that. But notice, that's not talking about heaven, brethren. That's talking about revelation. How do we prove that? Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse number 11 is so important. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The only way that I can know what Royce is thinking, Royce got to tell me. He has to open up his mouth. He shows me through his actions. The only way that I can know who God is, he has to open up his mouth. He has to show me in his action. No wonder. Here comes Jesus in the flesh. God in the flesh to demonstrate who God is. Why? Because no one has ever seen God and lived. Wow. God, you're so consistent. So God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to leave you a book. You got to spend time in that book. And when you do that, then you're going to develop a mindset. You're going to develop a trust. You're going to develop an integrity, an honesty about yourself. And you're going to begin to pray to me and look to me and call upon me. And the next thing you know, you're going to search out my people. And when you find them, you're going to worship with them. And then you're going to die with them. And you're going to be raised up with them. Brother, that's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. This nonchalant attitude of having the mind of Christ, I don't know where we got it. But having the mind of Christ is work every single day. Mike Bonner has to make up his mind. He's going to have the mind of Christ. Because sometimes he has the mind of Mike Bonner. Sometimes you don't want that joker. Mm-mm. Nope. You don't want him. He might hurt you. But with the mind of Christ, I'll spare you. About 30 years ago, I wouldn't spare you. I tried to take you out. All the way out. There was this old saying, Brother Royce. It's time for your family to get the black dress, get the family, because I'm trying to take you out. But with the mind of Christ, all that changed. Y'all looking at me funny. I ain't got my glasses on. You know, Paul tried to take folk out who was in the way, and they didn't accept him too much. After they realized that, oh, you know what? This guy is for real. This guy, he's honest. He's spiritual. He's on the right path. He's actually preaching Jesus, Galatians 1, verse 18. That's interesting. The mind of Christ will actually turn a person 180 degrees around. Some people say 360. You don't want to make a 360. You're going in the same direction you turned from. You want to make a 180. As I close, notice the mind of Christ. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, notice the contrast, but the Spirit who is from God, in order that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God is the one that gives us spiritual things. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, listen to this, the carnal man, the worldly man, the one whose focus is not on God, well, he doesn't accept the spiritual things of God. How do I know that I'm not spiritual? When God's word says something, when it teaches something, I reject it. Now, the last thing I really want to believe is that I'm that person. But in order for me to get better, I have to admit that I'm that person. I think the beauty of sinning is turning away from your sin. You get to learn who God is. I think the detriment of sin is remaining in it. The beauty of repentance. I've said this a few times. I don't know if I said it on Sunday morning, but Marshall Keeble said something that I thought was pretty interesting. Old gospel preacher. Young folk may not know him. Been dead a long time. Even though he's dead, he's still living. He said, I wouldn't buy a Cadillac if it didn't go in reverse. Y'all think about that. He said there was this little old dog. He was out there door knocking. He had this little old cane. And the dog was sitting there nipping at him. Little Charles just nipping at him. Just nipping at him. And he was a little patient. After a while, he tapped him. And I said, what happened? He repented. That's what he said. He repented. He went another way. You know, that's what sin is supposed to do. When you have your mind made up to do what God says, and don't remain in your sin, having the mind of Christ, you repent. And those whom God loves, Hebrews 12 and verse 7 through 9, he chastens. If you're receiving a chastening from God, you ought to be so thankful that God loves you enough to chasten you. But the mind of Christ is going to say, Father, thank you for chastening me. Thank you for beating me. Thank you for correcting me. Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, if you reprove a wise man, he'll love you. But if you rebuke a scorner, he'll hate you. I want to be the wise man. No one is above the law of God. Isn't it interesting that even God himself is not above his own law? He's consistent with it. Amen. As we close, look at verse number 15 and 16. Wow, it's a good study. I believe next week is going to be just as good because there's so much, so many applications in Philippians 2. It's amazing how many applications are in Philippians 2. He says in verse number 15, but he who is spiritual, ask yourself your question, are you spiritual? What does it mean to be spiritual? Galatians 5, verse number 16, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, 1 Peter chapter 2, 20 through verse number 24. To actually follow in the footsteps of Christ. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Why? Because he's walking according to the Spirit's teaching. For he who is spiritual, brethren, are you spiritual? Look at verse 16. For who has known the mind, the thinking, the reasoning of the Lord, that he may instruct him? That's a good question. No one. No one can instruct God on anything. So the best thing that they can do is twist his word. The best thing that he can do is reject his word. You can't teach God anything. He's not going to change. And to the one that has the mind of Christ, we don't want God to change. We need him to be the same. I don't need you changing up on me. I need you to be the same. Parents, be the same with your children. Brethren, be the same with one another. But look what he says, Brother Cortland. But we have the mind of Christ. Paul, you said all of that just to say we have the mind of Christ? I said all of that just to say we have the mind of Christ. Question, what mind do you have? Sometimes I get so mad at myself because the mind of Christ is not full bloom and mature like I believe it needs to be. Don't you? Aren't you glad you serve a God that's merciful and gracious and holy? And really, he's rooting for you. If I can say that metaphorically speaking, he says, I'm rooting for you. Come on back home. And so no wonder the psalmist would say, I know their frame. I remember their dust. Question, do you have the mind of Christ? Next week, as we talk about the mind of Christ, we're going to talk about the mind of Christ in humility. And that last week, we're going to talk about the mind of Christ in suffering. You know what God is teaching us? Doesn't matter what the situation is in life, you need to have the mind of Christ. And the only thing that's really consistent in our lives is God himself. Because even we change. But praise be to God, there's a standard. There's a standard for you if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. What is that standard? I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. That gospel saved men 2,000 years ago. And it's still saving men today. It's the same gospel. That same gospel that was preached in Acts chapter 2 is being preached today all over the United States, yea, the world. That same gospel. But what's the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, the kingdom of God, Mark 1, 14 and 15, Philip came preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 8 and verse 12. Got to preach the gospel. And any man who stands up before people, yea, the people of God, yea, sinners, and won't preach the gospel, he's no good to God because he's preaching a bloodless gospel. gospel that we preach has blood and is saturated with blood. And no wonder when you think about Jesus on the cross, you got to have the mind of Christ. You got to be going that way. John 19 and verse number 38, Bible tells us that soldier pitched him in the side and forthwith came blood and water. That same blood that purchased the church. Acts 20 and verse number 28, the same blood that forgives us for our sins. 1 John 1 verses 7 through 9, the same blood. Don't you want to contact that blood? Don't you want your conscience to be cleansed by the blood of Christ? Hebrews 9, 14 and 15. You got to obey the gospel. You can't ask Jesus in your heart. You can't say this prayer. You got to obey the gospel. You don't have the mind of Christ. You got to do it God's way. You can't instruct God. Can't be like Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 17 and following. You can't tell God what you want to do to be saved. He's the one that's offering salvation. He's the one that knows where salvation is. You got to go it his way. Have to. You're going to have the mind of Christ. And the easiest person to deceive is self. But to have the mind of Christ, I look at things spiritually and objectively. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for remission of sins. But maybe a child of God, and you haven't had the mind of Christ. You've been doing your own thing. It happens. Even to the best of us, it happens. Praise be to God. There's a merciful and almighty God looking down and saying, I'm giving you time. Turn around. It'll be okay. Good parents demonstrate that to their children. Mercy. They don't kill their kids for everything they do. If God did us the way we did our kids, we wouldn't be around. Chill out. Make sure you treat your children correctly. Make sure you treat your spouse correctly. Make sure you treat your brethren correctly. And when they turn around, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9 through verse number 11, we're not ignorant of his devices. We don't want him to be overburdened with so much sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. What do you want? Forgive him. Embrace him. Help her. It'll be all right. As we stand, as we sing, Savior's invitation.